The world is my reflection, and I say, you're so beautiful. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with the thought for today. You're so beautiful. The world is my reflection. I look out on the world, and everywhere I look, I see beautiful things. I see beautiful people. I see beautiful circumstances. Everything is beautiful. It's all my reflection. All my reflection. I was talking to a few people the other day, and they were telling me about their circumstances, and they were saying how difficult their circumstances are. They were saying how difficult it is to be in the hospital, and to be in the hospital and to have an illness, and to have an illness that doctors really don't know what to do. All they do is just keep you quiet and keep you sedated and keep you so that you don't feel any pain. And how wonderful that is, you know. And then I think of saying to these people, and I don't think of saying to these people, I say to these people, I say, okay, now, your body is what it is right at the moment, whatever you've created it to be. I see you whole and perfect, but now you want to see yourself something. Now, do you want to blow the doctor's mind? I think it'd be kind of fun to blow the doctor's mind. I think we should all practice on blowing the doctor's mind. And they look at me chagrined and say, that's not a very nice thing to do. I say, oh, yes, it is. The doctor gives you a diagnosis based upon who you are and what you're doing and what your body is expressing and what you're thinking about yourself. And that diagnosis he gives to you, and you may not have as fully believed it as the doctor revealed it, but he just gave you the full picture. And so, in giving you the full picture, you accepted that, and you said, well, I guess I better get ready. I'm going to go. And the doctor says, I guess you better. Now, the doctor can't say anything else, because the doctor can only give you a picture of what you give him a picture of. And he looks at your body, and he sees all of your worn-out cells, all your worn-out white cells and red cells of your blood cells, and he sees all of your feeling of fatigue and feeling of uselessness and feeling of why bother going on. And these are all reflected in the energy that your cells put out. These are all reflected in the attitudes that your body is giving out to the world. Now, your body is giving out these attitudes to the world because that's the attitudes you have in your body about yourself. That's the attitudes you have in your own mind, in your own thinking. Now, what sort of thinking do you want to have? What sort of attitudes do you want to have in your mind, in your body, in your thinking? What sort of attitudes do you want? Now, if you say to a child, you are so stupid, you don't know how to do calculus, you don't know how to do all of these foreign languages, you don't know, you're so stupid. And the child will say, but I never learned it. And I don't care, you're stupid. Well, now, that's just like saying to your body, you're so stupid because you're acting lazy because I'm acting lazy. You're acting sick because I'm acting sick. You're acting unhappy because I'm acting unhappy. You're acting as though life is too long. You want to get rid of it and get out of this body into something else. And so your body is reflecting what you are doing. Now, just as a mother cannot expect the little child to know all of these things before it has a chance to know it, so your body doesn't have an opportunity to know all of these things until you tell it. Until you tell it. You are the teacher of your body. You are the teacher of your experience. You're the teacher of what goes on. So you say to yourself, I'm whole and perfect. And you say, well, I can't say that because that's not true. Well, that may not be true. I don't know mathematics, but I'm still learning mathematics. And I say 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, and I don't believe it, and I don't know it, but I say it because I know that that's what I must say. And so I keep saying it, and then all of a sudden, I know mathematics because I have overcome my objection to not knowing mathematics, and I start knowing mathematics. It's like not knowing and knowing. It's not knowing I'm healthy and knowing I'm healthy. So when we can start working with our bodies and say to ourselves of our bodies, come on, guys, energize. Let's move it, move it, move it, move it, move it. Come on, let's get a little room. That's why exercising is so good. And that's why moving is so good. People who sit in their chair and become couch potatoes, they deserve to die because they have no interest in living. They don't need that body. All they want to do is just watch TV, and that's not certainly very beneficial. So here we go. I'm talking to people in the hospitals, and I'm talking like Mr. Energy. And I'm saying, you're wonderful, you're fantastic, you're glorious, I see you whole and perfect. And you're whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect. They say, would you shut up, get on me. Well, you're sick, that's more like it, that's the truth now. That, now you're saying, but is that what you want? No. Well then why do you keep saying what you don't want? Do you want an empty gas tank or you want a full gas tank? Now, you go to the filling station and you say, just put in a drop or two, I'm not worth enough more than that. And the filling station man will say, well, lady, I don't know what you're up to, but you're sure not going to get far with just a couple of drops of gasoline. In fact, I don't know that your car is even going to start. It may just start and then you're done, you know. Now, I say, fill her up. Alan says, well, we shouldn't really fill up our tank with gas because when we fill up our tank with gas, all sorts of things don't function right and all sorts of things don't work right, and we're driving up and down the mountain with a full tank of gas, carrying all that weight and stuff like that. And no. If you're going to think abundance. Can you imagine a trucker going down the road with only a half a tank because he doesn't want to carry the extra weight? Can you imagine that?
No.
No way. A trucker believes in prosperity. He believes in full tanks. He believes in going. He believes in keeping his engine in perfect shape. He believes in keeping his car in perfect shape. He believes in keeping everything in perfect shape. Because the better greased the wheels are, the better they'll run. The better they'll roll. And we too, we have a body that is pure energy. Pure energy. Well, we tell our body that it's now time to slow down, time to relax, time to be cool, time to not think of it. And what do they do in sick rooms? At least what did they used to do? They close the blinds. They closed off the light of day, the light that should be energizing that body, the light that should be flowing in and through that body, giving it all the power and saying, go, 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 you know, you're alive, you're vital, you're dynamic, you're alive, you're vital, you're dynamic, you know, and they don't do that. And in hospitals they say, hush, hush, hush. Well, irritate those damn patients. Get them sick of being in the hospital. You know, I don't want to be in this hospital, it's so noisy, how can anyone get well here? Yeah, it's a place for people to get sick, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, get going. Get going. Now, Sylvia was telling us she was in the hospital, and while she was in the hospital, it was a two-bed room, and the lady in the other bed was watching garbage, and Sylvia didn't want to listen to her garbage. So Sylvia tried to turn on her TV set to things that she wanted to listen to, but she still kept hearing the lady's garbage. And so finally, Sylvia said, I have had enough of that. I'm going to go over and tear that television right off the wall. I'm going to throw it out the window. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. No, no, Sylvia is not so stupid. Sylvia said, I've had enough of that. And so she turned it off, mentally. Mentally, she stopped listening to the other lady's television. Mentally, she got interested in something inside of herself, in her own inner meditation, and she stopped listening to the outer. Now, you see, Sylvia was getting well from something, you know, and so as she was getting well, she didn't want to have all that nonsense in her mind. Now, what about you? Are you getting well from something? Say, for instance, you don't like yourself. Now, how do you get well from don't liking yourself? Is it by moaning I don't like myself? Or that the world doesn't like me? Or is it tuning in to your own inner self and saying, my God, how wonderful you are! How wonderful I am! I like me, I like me, I like me! And then you begin expressing that. But I talk about the stem cells. I tell people about the stem cells, and I'm amused by the response that I get. People say, I've had enough of stem cells. I've had enough of hearing about stem cells. I've had enough of it. Well, I know where you're coming from, but that's okay. Why do you have enough of stem cells? Because you're getting to the point now where you're saying, I'm going to have to take responsibility. I can't say I don't know anymore that my stem cells are waiting for my direction. I can't say I don't know anymore that my body is a body of energy waiting for me to direct it in the energy lane, in the fast lane, or the slow lane, or the dead lane, or whatever lane I want to go in. Now, I can't admit to that, because that's not true. I know that the stem cells, the energy cells, the undifferentiated cells of my body that are born every day, waiting to do my bidding. And, hey, enough of that. What about all the other cells that are in your body that are not stem cells? What are they waiting for, too? What are they being blessed with and dressed with and served with? What are they being poured? What's poured onto them? Are you pouring onto all the cells of your body? You're wonderful. Oh, I love you. Do you do the energy massage? Do you take your fingers and go over your body and say, I like you, I like you, I like you, I like you? And does your body tingle back, and do you have these, what do you call the goosebumps, you know? You have these goosebumps all over you when you do it, because your body says, oh, it's a good thing. Finally, you're doing it. Finally, you're appreciating me. Finally, you're loving me. Well, that's what I do when I go in the hospital. When I go in the hospital to visit with people, I tell them this. I tell them, take your attention away from the problem and put it on the solution. And what's the solution? Well, the solution is you're whole and perfect. Okay, now, is that solution something that's going to be, or is that solution something that is in you right now and you're just going to reveal it? Yeah, you're just going to reveal it. Okay, are you ready to reveal it? Well, I don't know. The hospital bills are so expensive. Well, that's a good reason to reveal it, isn't it? Yeah. But I get flowers when I go to the hospital. Well, order some from the florist to be delivered to your house once a week, you know, and just say it's from a secret admirer, you know, and it'll drive everybody in the house mad, wondering who's the secret admirer that you have that sends you flowers at home when you're not even sick, you know. How wonderful that is. And it's you. It's you. You know, one woman was trying to make time with her husband. She dumped him, and he dumped her, and so they dumped each other. And she says, but I'm not sure that I really want to dump him. I sort of want him, but I don't want him, and I want him, but I don't want him. And so then she started sending him flowers, sending one rose to his office and one rose on his dinner table place where he didn't appear, and one rose here and one rose there. And, hey, what was she doing wrong?
She gave the wrong person she gave the rose.
Essentially, she gave the rose to the wrong person. But what does one rose signify? My true love. If you send one rose to a person, that means that's your true love. You don't send a dozen roses and this and that. That's a bunch of garbage. One rose, this is what the lovers say. One rose means your true love. And so if you're sending one rose to a person, that's your true love. And you don't send a rose to their breakfast table, a rose to their office table, a rose to here, a rose there. You just send them one rose. And the one rose can go to their office or to their table. But the thing is, who is it that you really love? Who is it? Do you want a husband, or do you want a wife? Do you want a family? Do you want people in your life? No, you don't. They're all garbage. They say, Herb, you're saying our family is garbage? Yes. The one you want to send it to is you. You want to love yourself, because your family is a reflection of who you are. And if you love yourself, wow, will you have a great family. If you love yourself, wow, will you have a great job. If you love yourself, wow, will you have a great body. If you love yourself, wow, will you have a great life. On that note, we'll say, I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.